No, you're good.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to On Point with Rachel Turgeman. I'm so glad you can join us tonight. My friends, traumatic injuries occur everywhere, all over the world. But with the right care, and I mean very, very good, exceptional care, every year, thousands of lives are saved. Traumatic injuries, when you think about it, can happen anywhere. They can happen in our schools, on your streets, at homes, even at work. Now, the great news is that Jackson Health Systems, Rider Trauma Center, and also U Health Jackson's Miami Burn Center provide superlative trauma care. Joining us tonight is somebody very, very special, Luis De Rosa. He is the clinical outreach educator and the injury prevention coordinator for Jackson Health Systems, Rider Trauma Center, and Miami Burn Center as well. He is amazing. He's an expert in critical care and resuscitation and burns. Welcome. Welcome so much. I'm so happy you're here, Luis. God bless you. You're doing a fantastic job. And I can't wait for everybody to hear what you have to say when it comes to trauma injury. How are you today?
I'm very good. I'm very good. Thank you for having me, Rachel. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to talk to you, to your audience, and to members of our community about trauma, burns, and how to prevent them, and what a special place we have in Miami-Dade County, Jackson Memorial Hospital and Rider Trauma Center.
Absolutely. And I want to publicly commend you, and I'm sure all our viewers are going to agree after they hear you speak, for saving so many lives, you and your team, not only here in South Florida, but across the world. So I want to really, really thank you and congratulate you as well. So tonight, I want to have a front and center conversation with you, Luis, about how the Rider Trauma Center and the Miami Burn Center provide world-renowned treatment to our adults and our youth. How's that?
Well, the trauma program and the burn program at Jackson Memorial Hospital, it's a very prestigious place. It has a long history. Definitely wasn't started a couple years ago. So
no.
Experience, expertise, that's the name of the game for this, for our programs here. It's definitely a very special place to work for. I've been privileged,
sure.
And I'm honored every single day when I walk through these double doors and work alongside such amazing people.
We're gonna get into that. But before we get into the nitty gritty of Jackson Health System, one of the best healthcare systems throughout our nation, thank God they're here in South Florida, let's let our viewers get to know you a little better. So with that, what do you think that lured you into earning degrees when it comes into the medical field? What lured you? Why did you study medicine?
So I'm a nurse by trade. I definitely started out, one of my goals many years ago around 2006, 2007 was to go into the EMS world, fire department. That was kind of one of my target goals.
Emergency medical?
EMS stands for emergency medical services. And so that was something that was very attractive to me at the time. I just came back from playing baseball in college in Tennessee. That was fun. Growing up, my sister, Michelle De Rosa, she had muscular dystrophy. So from a very young age, I felt like I was always caring for people. For sure, my sister. It was something that I was raised. It was just second nature to me. So I think going into the medical field, I really kind of fell into it. And specifically in trauma, that was something that I don't think I was expecting to be in such a prestigious kind of highly specialized unit like Rider Trauma Center.
Very serious. I mean, that's the top of the line. You see it all there. God bless you.
I mean, we see it all. When I go to different parts of the country and I give lectures or I meet other people or I do training, when I tell people where I'm from, they're just like, what? Oh man, that is a place to be.
About that, take us through your successful career journey. Cause obviously, you know, you're very young and you're a very accomplished gentleman. You know, so that's amazing. So you decided that you wanted to study, you know, being a nurse. Then what happened? Where was your first job?
So my first job was in the medical field. My first job was in the trauma ICU at Rider Trauma Center. I just graduated from getting my EMT certification, which stands for emergency medical technician. That's kind of like the step right before becoming a paramedic. And right. I was gung-ho, and I was given an opportunity. Back then it was called a patient care intern. So you're kind of like the idea is that you're in school, and while you're in school, you get to work in this highly specialized trauma unit. And good. The idea is, and when you graduate, they hire you. So Martha Baker, who's our rep for the SEIU, our union here at Jackson, she hired me. She was the nurse manager of the unit. I learned a lot from her.
Let me stop you for a second. Did you realize when you got that position that you were going to work for one of the best healthcare systems in the nation or even throughout our world? Did you realize that, or you didn't know that Jackson was so great?
I did not know. I was so green to the medical field that my first day in the trauma unit, you know, one of the trauma surgeons, Dr. Lenine, was pulling out intestines and doing all this very, you know, very intricate life-saving stuff. I had no idea what it was. I didn't know what kind of unit that I was getting myself into or what kind of specialty I was getting myself into. It was a job, and I really lucked out.
How rewarding, Louis.
Let me tell you. So that first day when I went home, I remember I went to my mother. Her name is Maribel. And I was like, you know, I don't think this is for me, the medical field. I was very queasy that day. But look at me, you know, 15 years later, now I'm like still part of the trauma system and still working and helping to save lives with these amazing people here. So it's a blessing. It's a blessing.
It is a blessing. So how many years do you have with the, I know that you've been there like a few years, is like 15, but how long has Jackson Health Systems Rider Trauma Center been in existence, and also the Miami Burn Center?
Yeah, so, you know, the Rider Trauma Center specifically started and it opened up its doors in 1992. So I've had the privilege to actually work with some folks that were here the very first day. It was August of 1992. And I want to say about 2 weeks later, maybe a week later, there was a hurricane, a very famous hurricane by the name of Andrew that hit South Florida.
Oh, my God. That was a devastating hurricane. I know that all our viewers that are watching, whether they live in South Florida or another state, I mean, that made, you know, international news.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of people were injured after the storm. And so the floodgates opened up and Rider Trauma Center was open for business, so to speak. And helicopters were landing. Ground rescue was transporting patients. It really became a very chaotic and almost like a war zone. And so that was the first kind of experience or first scenario as soon as the doors opened up in the trauma center. But before Rider opened its doors in 1992, I mean, Jackson was providing trauma care for many years. At some point it was the only trauma system in the county, and the only trauma system really in South Florida at one point. During the 80s, there was a trend for trauma centers. So there was a proliferation of trauma centers in the early 80s. There was research showing that trauma systems or trauma centers, patients have better outcomes. And so everybody jumped into the ball game. They wanted to be a part of the trauma. So every hospital in Miami-Dade County was a trauma center.
Let me stop you there for a second. So you made an interesting comment. You talked about assessment. Mm-hmm. As an expert in the medical field, would you say that the assessment is essential, especially in trauma? Because if you can find out what's going on with that human being, right away, mm-hmm. then you know how to react. So, you know, that's why I tell everybody Jackson Health System, you know, guys are number one, you mm-hmm. know, they assess you. And I'm saying this firsthand also, because I want to give a big shout out to my sister, Fanny Elias, who I love. And a lot of our viewers know her as well. She hurt her femur and she's now by Lynn, Jackson Health System's Lynn. Thanks mm-hmm. to Anna Baker Milton, Charmaine Gatlin. There's so many names I want to mention. We have Ms. Casas as well. Mariela as well, who is the director of therapy. I know you're going to go visit her on Saturday. So Fanny, if you're watching, which I know you are, Louis is going to go from the trauma center and visit you. But assessment. My sister was so impressed on how you guys assess immediately. And it's a sense of urgency. Can you expound on that?
So the trauma system, right? So trauma centers, specifically like the intake units that first receive these patients after traumatic injury, it's a standard of care right? There's a primary survey, there's a secondary survey. There's this very quick, very aggressive assessment that occurs in trauma centers. You know, what's very unique about Rider Trauma Center specifically, it's a standalone trauma center. So every single patient that comes through here, whether it's a trauma patient, a burn patient, it could be a burn in the finger, gets this swarm of people or the trauma team that does this assessment, very aggressive. And what we like to do is make sure we rule out all those injuries, make sure there's no injuries, right? We evaluate it through clinically, through just our expertise, just looking at the patient objectively, subjectively, and then through diagnostics. And if they need any life-saving intervention, one of the things that makes this place very special is our resources. We have all these resources readily available, right? We're always on standby. If somebody needs a life-saving intervention, a life-saving surgery, we have experts in the field of trauma right here in our backyard in Miami-Dade County, ready to Amazing. Take care of these patients.
Okay, so we're talking about traumatic injuries. For any of the viewers that just joined us, we're talking to Luis De Rosa, who works for Jackson Rider System, Jackson Health System in the Miami Burn Center. He's an expert in resuscitation, an expert in critical care, you know, and burns as well. Trauma is everybody's worst fear, right? Because in many cases, when you have an injury that's traumatic, many times it happens like this, quickly, by happenstance, right? We didn't expect it. Take us, you as being an expert, take us through a typical day, Luis, at Rider Trauma Center or even the Miami Burn Center. Start from the beginning. Let me give you a scenario. Somebody has a car accident and their head is bleeding. What happens? Talk to us.
So in the trauma center, I think I want to preface this, that we are a standby trauma center unit, right? We're there on standby. Everybody there is highly skilled, highly trained. Our equipment has to be prepared and always ready to go on standby, just in case at the drop of a hat, a moment's notice, you know, we might get five patients, right? And the example you gave as far as somebody with a traumatic injury to their head and they're bleeding, you know, after a car accident, I mean, that's really everybody's worst nightmare. I'm sort of repeating some of my colleagues that I work with in the trauma center, but we every single day in the trauma center, the folks that work here, we live in your worst nightmare. Like every single day is your worst nightmare, right? Like, after somebody suffers a traumatic injury or crashes their car, I mean, that's the worst day of their life. And then they meet us. This happens on a repetitive basis for us.
So they come in through the door. Unique. They come, you know, try to show our viewers. They come in through the door. Who's waiting? Anesthesiologists, medical doctors, mm-hmm. nurses. What happens? Take us through the scenes.
Yeah. So from the scene, the EMS, personnel, the paramedics, they initiate a trauma alert and that activates the system. We get a call from the EMS dispatchers. So we start getting ready, right? Our trauma team, we start sending out the page and everybody's there within 1 minute because it's a standalone trauma center. So we're there. Everybody's there just waiting around for people, not for people to be injured, but we're there just in case they do get injured, right? So the trauma team consists of anesthesiologists, you're right, trauma surgeons, right? Mm. Highly specialized trauma nurses who are also specialized in burns as well. Everybody's cross-trained in burns, and I'll get into that later.
Yes.
We have X-ray. We have techs, we have social workers, we have all kinds of people, and they're all part of the trauma team. And this is why our outcomes are so successful. And that's a generic makeup or formula for a lot of trauma centers, but Rider's on another level. Like our response is a little bit different. And
when they call you level one, Jackson mm-hmm. Health Systems Rider Trauma Center, what does that mean, level one?
Level one, there's a couple factors involved with designation as a level one. There's two levels in the state of Florida, and they're designated by the Florida Department of Health, okay? Level one trauma center means that you have a trauma surgeon on standby, right? Like actually on the facility. And that goes for a level two trauma center as well. They also have a trauma surgeon. But what makes a level one different is the specialties. So now all the specialty services are there in-house, right? They're not off-site playing golf or at home.
Right. They have to be there.
Needed to be paged. You know, and I've experienced why this is so beneficial because, you know, we have patients that come in and they get dropped off, you know. And I remember one night somebody came in with their young child and holding their young child in their arms and her young child suffered an injury to the head. And the patient was critical, right? And within 5 minutes, we had a pediatric neurosurgeon there. Within 10, wow. 15 minutes, that patient was in the operating room getting what they needed. That little kid today is totally fully functional, playing with toys and just and okay. So if it was, you know, something different, you know, maybe it would have been a different outcome. But either way, we always have trauma surgeons here on standby. A level one trauma center also has research, a lot of research. They produce a lot of research. You know, compared to level twos and level threes and things
and
like that.
And that's great because you're talking about cutting edge research, you know, research and resources, which is amazing.
Oh yeah, we're the tip
okay,
of the spear.
So let's get back to our scenario because I want our viewers to really get to know what you're saying. So this person comes in, they're bleeding. The whole family is like, wow. I mean, it's a horrible situation. Mm-hmm. Do you have like separate rooms right there on the first floor? Do you have an elevator? What do you have? Talk to us.
Well, when you come for your tour, hopefully, we're going to show you, but I'm going to explain it really quick. I'm just going to briefly kind of talk. We have five trauma bays, okay, at Rider in the main campus. We have five trauma bays. One of them is exclusively for pediatrics. We have an observation area. So when a patient comes in, again, they get swarmed, and the trauma team is basically surrounding them, and everybody's asking a lot of questions. And we have a very specific survey or assessment that we do. And it's all happening at the same time. It's kind of like organized chaos. I know that that's a word that gets, it is organized chaos.
No, but you know what, Luis? As I hear you speak, and I'm sure all our viewers are home and in their offices that are listening to us. I mean, they're happy that you know that you're talking with such enthusiasm because I'm hearing you, and I know they're hearing you. You should see on the other end, which is my end and our viewers' end, the passion that you have, and the positive energy and your positive vibes. That's highly commendable. God bless you. So getting back to the room. So you have resuscitation rooms. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now do you have like a multi-approach team where somebody can be working on their brain? If somebody hurt their arm, they're working on the arm. Talk to us about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, we do. It's kind of a tiered step approach. The trauma team, they're assessing life-threatening injury. Like what's going to kill them now? What are they going to die from now? And we want to evaluate that. If they need any life-saving interventions, obviously, if somebody's brain is bleeding, if they have a hemorrhage in their brain, you know, we're going to treat that before we treat somebody's broken arm because, you know, the broken arm, you can heal, the bones will heal, but the brain has a, you know, a long-term effect.
Oh, the spinal cord, right? Which is another difficult.
Yeah, so spinal cord injuries. Bleeding's our first priority, though. So anybody that's bleeding, that already takes priority. This is a concept we're trying to teach the community as well, which, again, we'll talk about later on. But, you know, so once we evaluate that they're, you know, bleeding and breathing and things like that, then we start kind of like evaluating other things. What's going on internally? We do x-rays, you know, their whole body. Basically, we could do it right there in the trauma bay. We do ultrasounds as well. Kind of the same ultrasound machine that they use for pregnant females. Right. Okay. To look at the sex.
Very familiar with that. Yes.
Yeah, right. We use this. We have the same technology, but it's just a different approach. It's a fast exam, we call it. So it is very fast, too.
And you have CT scans, radiology. You have everything right there in the fingertips, right there.
Right there. So, you know, once the primary and secondary survey are done, there's no life-threatening injury right now that we have to address. Then they're clear to go to the CAT scan. And then we could have a more deeper look to see if there's any other injuries. I know that for sure, Rider Trauma, Rider Trauma Center, some of their outcomes, are some of the best in the nation as far as, missed injuries. Like, you know, we don't miss any injuries, you know, that's like actually something that never happens. And when it does happen, it gets addressed. Right. So, which happens at a lot of different trauma centers, but, you know, I want to say that the outcomes at Rider, especially for the acuity that we get. So not a lot of people don't know this, but Miami-Dade County is the hot zone for trauma in this country. There are big urban, large, highly populated cities around the country that have a lot of traumatic injury. We see it on the news a lot, but Miami-Dade County is for sure.
Well, every day you put on the news, no matter what channel you put, there's somebody getting into an accident, somebody smashed another person. Yeah. I mean, it's horrible. Guns, you know, gun shootings, mass shootings. I mean, it's we're really living in hard times, and I'm just praying to God, and I know all of you will join me, asking God to, you know, put his hands here upon our nation and our world so that we can have peace. But, you know, later on, I'll do another political show and deal with the legislation, but that's not your show. I'm to give you my opinion on legislation.
We don't care. Like we don't, if you're injured, we're going to take care of you. You know what I mean?
Right. Question. Okay. So once you assess, you have your whole multi-approach team there, the anesthesiologist, the nurses, the staff, the orthopedics, so on and so forth. If they decide in a moment's notice that you need surgical intervention, how fast is that surgery going to take place at the Ryder Trauma Center and the Jackson Health System? Talk to us.
Well, the trauma OR, if the decision is made, right, in the first of all, I got to backtrack. So when the patients come in, they come into a unit called the trauma resuscitation unit. So I apologize if I didn't explain that earlier.
No, I'm just so excited. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the standalone concept is very rare. That standalone trauma center, it's a building that's it's dedicated just to trauma. There's only two trauma centers in the country, really, that had that same kind of workup. The other one being in Maryland. So at Ryder, you know, the trauma resuscitation area only gets traumatic injuries and burns. Our adult ER, they get the medical components, right? Like, and they also get traumatic injury. But if you're really, you know, a trauma alert and really bad and you meet that criteria, you're going to come to us. So
yeah,
if,
you even have helicopters coming and landing on your roof.
Oh yeah. Really? Yeah. So yeah, the trauma resuscitation unit, that's the unit that actually goes up to the helicopter roof or to the helipad to receive these patients from, you know, air rescue. But if the decision is made that this patient needs some kind of life-saving surgery, the trauma, the OR, they're always on standby. There's two trauma ORs ready to go. They're always available, right? You know, they're not used for other things. And it's literally 50 feet away from the trauma resus area. So you could have a patient in the operating room within 2 minutes from arrival in the trauma resus area. So speed is the name of the game. Yeah.
No, I understand. So for those individuals that have lost a lot of blood and they go into the Ryder Trauma Center, what do you guys do to normalize them, you know, to make them comfortable? Do you provide heat? And for those individuals that do not want to have a blood transfusion, is there any kind of a bloodless medicine? Talk to us.
Yeah, so that's a good question. So number one, we have blood readily available in the actual trauma resus area. So when you if you come for your tour, it honestly looks like a vending machine. You know, I always tell people it's like, you know, you're not getting M&Ms, but you're getting, you know, multiple units of blood and it's a vending machine. And so if we need it at a moment's notice, we could have multiple units of blood before the patient even arrives. Actually, you know what? That's actually part of our protocol. Before patients arrive, when we hear the call, we're like, you know what? This person might need blood. We have blood readily available in the trauma base. So that way, as soon as they come, we could spike it and give it if they need it. So now if they don't accept blood, right, we do have a bloodless program that we have here at Jackson. And that entails a lot of different substitutes. Instead of using blood, we'll use different things, right? So you know, volume expanders and things. What was that?
Obviously, it's very safe to use that.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes.
Yeah, you know, I'm saying that because some people don't like blood transfusions. Some people don't like, you know, that, you know, blood transfusions.
Yeah, and we respect it. And we respect it, you know. You know, there's people who come in who are unconscious, though, you know, and you know, not able to answer for themselves. So in those situations those are very rare. But, you know, if they do, our thing is also if you know, sometimes we don't know anything about the patient, but we want to save their life. And so that's one of the tools that we use to save lives. So.
And so all of this, you have social workers there for families that are really, you know, very upset about what's happening to their loved ones. And
yeah. So we have social workers that are designated for the trauma unit. You know, I always say they're the glue that keeps everybody together because, you know, sometimes they, you know, are going outside and communicating with the families. And sometimes they're actually bringing the families in during this acute phase where their loved one is in the trauma bay. And we let them watch sometimes and we walk them through it, let them know what we're doing. Definitely that's something that's, there's a lot of research and a lot of discussion about, you know, bringing the family early in during resuscitation, during those kind of phases.
A good support system is so important when you have somebody in a hospital, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that our viewers will agree with us. I mean, that support system is key to recuperation. Not only do we need cutting edge equipment, you know, and brilliant doctors and nurses like yourself, Luis, but we need that family support. So it's like a 365 circle. It comes together, you know, for healing. Intensive care. Right. Congratulations. I do know that you have this medical telehealth where now the doctors and the nurses and all the staff and even your students of University of Miami, which I know you have an amazing partnership with all the students that are studying to be medicine, you know, medical doctors. With this telehealth, you can actually see the vital signs of a person in the intensive care, correct? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I mean, telehealth is, you know, that's a when I go
but
to conferences,
in an intensive care, talk about that.
in the intensive care unit, I mean, being able to evaluate vital signs where, and you're not, and you're off site or in another unit or somewhere else, if the, you know, the trauma team wants to look at those vital signs, I mean, it's innovative stuff, and it's definitely, you know, it's going to change the game as far as, you know, critical care and kind of that team approach and being hyper vigilant for any kind of changes in the patient's care. You know,
I love it. And in times of COVID, Luis, that really kind of limits infections, because here you have University of Miami students that are going to be medical doctors. You have nurses, you know, in and out. But if we can do the telehealth and somebody can constantly be monitoring them while they're in their intensive care bed, that's pretty advanced, in my opinion.
Yeah, those concepts. You know,
your staff is not going to get sick as often, correct?
Yeah, there was a big goal or push to decrease the amount of traffic in the rooms, you know, or exposing some of the staff or exposing family and things like that. And so there was a big push during the COVID era or the COVID days, which we're still in COVID days, but, you know, in the peak of a couple of years ago, to innovate and kind of utilize some of the technology with iPads and telehealth, which was very, it was innovative at the time for sure. And definitely helped, you know, the way we treated some of those patients and involving the different services that needed to be, that they really needed to know what was going on with these patients, but weren't able to actually go into the room.
Exactly.
You know, but now, so I mean, we have telehealth, we're expanding telehealth, you know, between our sister hospitals for stroke, between, you know, our ERs and the EMS professionals.
We're living a different time.
It's amazing.
I always say this to all my viewers, you know, COVID came like a devastating hurricane or volcano. It changed everybody's life. You know, meetings, we used to meet all the time in person. Now we're doing a lot of Zoom, even though we're trying to go back to normalcy. But still, I mean, it's easier to have a Zoom meeting than going, you know, physically. So a lot of us, including myself, we're still into Zoom meetings, even though we're a little bit in the post-COVID.
It's the silver lining.
Exactly. So let me ask you this. I know there's a lot of initiatives and programs that Jackson Health Foundation has funded to Rider Trauma Center and also the UHealth Jackson's Miami Burn Center. Mm-hmm. Could you share some of those with us and what has been the impact throughout our diverse communities?
Well, for the Burn Center, which I don't think I was able to even to speak on because there's so much to talk about our trauma program. You know, so the burn program is okay,
we'll
very
tell
special.
Darlene. We'll tell Darlene to bring you back.
Darlene, if you're listening.
And Charmaine, go ahead.
You're going to have to coordinate another meeting for us. But, you know, so the burn program, again, is another special component that's a part of Jackson. And it's world renowned. It's definitely a pioneer burn center. Been around for a very long time. We're ABA verified. So I don't know if you know ABA stands for, but it's American. It stands for the American Burn Association. Okay. This is kind of a national burn. It's a national agency of experts in burn care. They're the ones that pretty much write the book, and they go to burn centers all over the country and they give their stamp of approval, saying like, you know what, you're verified as an ABA burn center because you're able to provide the best care possible for burn patients to provide the best outcome and really get them back into. You know, being normal again, right before their burn injury. So we have that designation, and you know, we're adult and pediatric verified. So you know, unfortunately we get a lot of pediatric burns. That's a very common patient population, and for them it's a lot of scald injury. Kids are exploring in the house and they pull the coffee or the cafecito and they get burned.
Yeah, let me stop you right there. Mm-hmm. Would you say that all injuries, especially traumatic injuries, are preventable? Mm-hmm. Yes or no?
100%. 100%.
Why and how?
So, all right. So, you know, every burn or trauma patient that comes into the trauma center, and a lot of people will say this that work in my field is, you know, there's kind of a saying that says, oh, trauma happens to stupid people, right? And I feel like that's the worst thing you could ever say, because I actually don't agree with it, because you know, yes, there are people who make stupid decisions or what we like to say is high risk decisions, right? These are people who participate in risky behavior, which is sometimes leads to them being injured, whether it's driving fast, not wearing a seatbelt, reckless driving, distracted driving, crossing the street on their phone and texting, right?
Yeah, I was going to say cell phones, big
that's
time.
That's kind of a new thing.
You know, I was driving a 995 and somebody hit me. And I can tell you, I mean, the law enforcement official didn't say anything, but I bet you she was on the cell phone.
Yeah.
Right on the highways. Insane. I mean, that's suicidal, guys.
It's 100% preventable. It's 100% preventable. You know, when kids get burnt, come into our, you know, burn center, which is located within the Ryder Trauma Center. It's the same thing. You know, when you reverse engineer how it happened, it could have been prevented. Maybe they weren't being watched. Maybe they weren't being supervised. Maybe the hot water in their house was not at the regulated temperature where it should be, which is 120 degrees. And the kid goes into the bathroom unattended and turns the hot water knob. There's toys in the bathtub, and they get into the bathtub, right? And they get burned. That all could have been prevented.
So you aggressive know what? Driving. I gotta say this. You know, I'm listening to you speak, and I'm sure that our viewers are tight listening to you too. You know, it makes sense. I think that we all, after this interview, we all have to reassess our movements, you know, mm-hmm. and what we do on a daily basis, because we don't want anything to happen to us. That's what we always pray. But since you are an expert on this, and I know you go around educating the community on injury prevention, I think that's wonderful. Ryder Trauma Center's needs, what are they right now? And how can the community support Ryder Trauma Center with their needs by donating to Jackson?
Sorry, you kind of froze up there. But so you're asking. Yeah, actually repeat it, because I think you were asking about the needs of the trauma center, right?
Yeah, I'm sure that the Ryder Trauma Center has specific needs right now. And mm-hmm. what could the community do to support mm-hmm. these needs by donating to Jackson Hope Foundation? So what are these needs so people can donate to Jackson Hope Foundation so they can, you know, give the money to Ryder Trauma Center, Miami Burn Center? And
yeah. So, I mean, I think it's going to always come down to prevention efforts. We do a lot of prevention efforts out in the community. It's starting to pick up a lot more than obviously because of COVID, we weren't going out to the community, but there's a need. There's a need. And, you know, sometimes there's not enough supply for the demand. You know, there's a need for education in the elementary schools for how to prevent burn injury, how to, you know, bicycle helmet safety, crossing the street, you know, different things like that. You know, I know we have a big initiative for, you know, water trauma. So water trauma I'm going to give you a quick fact. Hopefully the viewers can really absorb this and take it and you know, learn from it and teach others. Miami-Dade County is number, so Florida is number one in the country when it comes to accidents, injuries, and deaths, in particular to water-related trauma or boating activity, right? Oh, so anything God. That's out in the water, so that's jet skis, boats, shark bites, you know, things like that. Anything that has to do with that, right? I mean, you could just, you know.
And I see a lot of people things. Love jet skis. How dangerous are jet skis? Talk to us.
Well, yeah, so jet skis are also incorporated into that number. So Florida's number one. Miami-Dade County is number one in the state of Florida. So what does that make Miami-Dade County? Number one in the country for accidents, injuries, and deaths related to water sport, recreational activities. So boating accidents, jet ski accidents, which jet ski accidents are just running rampant. It's actually increasing in Miami-Dade County. It's a big problem. So I think there needs to be a push for sure, legislative, you know, safety nets and education. You know, some of our local politicians probably need to support it.
Let me ask you this, as a medical expert, you know, and I know that you love that specialty, you know, water injuries.
Yeah, it's a passion.
I know it's your passion. I could see it. Everything is your passion. What advice could you give to our viewers, especially all those people that love, you know, going in the beautiful sun and in the water with the jet streams, you know, jet skis? What mm-hmm. advice do you have for them to prevent from getting traumatically hurt, if you will?
So we had a big initiative with Miami-Dade Fire Rescue and Miami Beach Ocean Rescue. You know, some of their EMS personnel that basically provide, you know, medical aid and trauma care and life-saving care, like out in the water. We had a big push and initiative for training them. And so what we do is we train them how to treat injuries when they happen, but we also train them how to prevent these injuries. So this is like a very interesting topic. So when it comes to boating safety, for sure, every person in the boat, especially kids, should have a life vest. Right. So you can go on any social media platform right now and you type in Miami and water or boats and you're going to see all this very risky, high risk, stupid behavior of people in the water, on their boats, on a jet ski, and some of them are not wearing a life vest. A life vest is proven, right? So a life vest is just a vest you put on, and it's a flotation device, and it helps you in case you crash. It helps you from prevent you from sinking, right, and drowning. For sure, alcohol use while basically operating.
A lot of people like to drink. A lot of people like to drink, but you know, not when you're in the water, my friends. Save your life.
Yeah, so spear gun injuries actually happen a lot in Miami-Dade County. It's still very, very rare, but we've had a lot of interactions with this. But spear guns, I want to tell people that if you have a spear gun, right, a spear gun is basically, it's a rod. It's sometimes it when you pull the trigger, right, it gets, the propulsion is either by a rubber band or by some kind of pneumatic system, and it's basically a weapon. And so when people when they store their spear guns at home, they're not storing them the same way they would a firearm. If they have a firearm in the home, which we always say, keep it in the safe, lock them up. So these spear guns, they have them basically in the garage at low level, and kids can find them. So we want to make sure that keep your spear gun high up, never have it charged or lock it up. Jet ski trauma is an increasing problem. I think it's like motorcycles out there in the water, and they're just running rampant and they're crashing into each other, crashing into swimmers and causing crashes with boats and things like that. So unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of injury. And then specifically with jet skis, there's a very unique injury that is caused by the jet stream. So a jet ski, the way it works is it pushes out this very high powered jet stream, right? And that's the way it propels forward. Okay. It's basically, it doesn't have a propeller. It has an impeller, right? Sucks in water from the bottom and spits it out. And that's the way it goes forward at a high rate of speed.
And
so
it's probably very strong coming out.
And it's very strong. So you got to think of it sort of like a fire hose, right? The EMS, the firefighters, when they're putting out a fire, they use a fire hose, right? Very strong, high powered, and it causes damage. The issue we're seeing in Miami-Dade County, which is, it's one of the,
we have a lot of boaters here.
We have a lot of boaters, right? We have a lot of people who are tourists. We have a lot of people who are, it's their first time riding a jet ski. And sometimes what we see is it's a passenger, right? Usually it's a passenger riding on the back of the jet ski. And if they fall off backwards with their legs, basically this way, right? With their legs open, their private parts are making contact with this jet stream.
My God.
And it's causing catastrophic injury. So Rider Trauma Center arguably has seen the most in the world, and we just published a paper that's still it has been accepted, but it's still in submission in that process. That's basically, it's a case series of all the patients we've seen. This type of injury is increasing, but it could be, not only can it be prevented, but also we want to recommend that people go to a trauma center first, because you could have severe injury.
100%.
And going to a trauma center first, you will lead to better outcomes.
Let me ask you this, Luis. We talked about the jet skis and the water injuries. Can you share, without mentioning any names, some success stories at Rider Trauma Center, and what are you most proud of?
So I guess it's a good segue. So regarding what I was just talking about, so we're calling that injury, the jet ski injury, we're calling it Fiji. So PHJI.
Okay.
Sort of like Fiji water, and it stands for perineal hydrostatic jet stream injury. So, about, I want to say 7 or 8 years ago, we hosted or coordinated an EMS workshop. It was a training. It was a water trauma training for a lot of different individuals and professionals and people that are in the life saving business from all over South Florida, including the military. And so at this training, we had some lifeguards from Miami Beach Ocean Rescue that were attending there. Lucas is his name. He's a good friend of mine. And he had never learned about this injury, right? Mm. So the class ended at 1 p.m., like 1 in the afternoon. It was a quick class. He went back on shift in Miami Beach. And guess what kind of call he received that day? He received the call of a person that fell backwards, right? Fell off a jet ski and was having, issues. Mimicked what he had just learned in the class earlier that day. And so he was able to advocate for the patient and recommend the patient go to a trauma center because he knew he just had learned it.
Yes.
Right? So I always tell people, I've never met that patient, but that's my most proudest moment, because that was a class that we put together, right? I was the one who spearheaded it, and I never met the patient in my life.
This person's life through your class.
Possibly, you know.
For sure.
And so it's one of those things, you know, every single day we meet people that come in and it's, they're right there at death's door. And we do things.
And everywhere.
So we do so many amazing things. But for us, we do it every single day. Sometimes we don't realize how special it is. And I really stand on the shoulders of giants. I work with so many amazing people in this place. And it's just, it's amazing. And I wish, I hopefully people in, for sure in Miami and South Florida understand how special the Jackson Memorial System is, as a public safety net hospital, and for sure at, you know, having the Ryder Trauma Center and the Miami Burn Center right here in our backyard. And people look at our trauma and burn programs from all over the country, and they say, okay, what are they doing? What can we mimic?
Talking about that, I know that you get patients from all over the world, from the Caribbean, from South America, from Central America. They all come here. And also, congratulations, because I do know that the U.S. Army, the Ryder Trauma Center, is home to the U.S. Army for the training program. You want to just elaborate, and then we have to wrap it up a little bit. But talk to us about the U.S. Army going to the Ryder Trauma Center and learning all these surgical ways so when they go in combat, they can save people. Go ahead.
Very, very unique. Very unique program. Very unique collaboration and partnership. I mean, there's only two other systems in the United States that really have this kind of military-civilian partnership. So the U.S. Army, you know, back in 1999, 2000, they felt like they were not prepared for war during times of peace. So they wanted to collaborate and send their forward surgical teams to civilian trauma centers, basically in times of peace, so that way they can keep their skills up and train and get better. So that way, if there is any wars or and things like that, they were ready to act and ready to save lives. And so, since 2001, the United States Army has sent every single forward surgical team that has been deployed overseas to war they've actually made a pit stop here in Miami first, specifically in my unit. Which is an amazing collaboration. It's one of my proudest moments. And I call them family and friends, to be honest.
I love it, Luis. And I'm sure that our viewers, as they're listening to you, you know, we love our armed forces, our army, all of them. And we thank you, Jackson Health System. Want to give a big shout out to Carlos Bigoya, again, Ana Vega Milton, Charmaine Gatlin, Flavia Yiso, Jocelyn Casas, and your director of therapy as well, Mariela Saget. I mean, you and so many others that work as one in your team to really save lives. So I want to thank you. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. You're doing a fantastic job. Your superlative leadership is saving lives, you and your team, not only here, as I said earlier, in South Florida, but across our world. Is there a last minute message that you would like to leave our viewers with tonight? Talk to us.
So I guess the only thing I can say is that we don't want to see you get hurt, right? We don't want to take care of you. We really do not want. We want to prevent injury. And just before you participate in high risk behavior, or if you know somebody that's participating in high risk behavior, you know, let them know that in a blink of an eye, you could be injured, and you know, and your life could be altered. And so, but 100%, these kind of decisions or these kind of outcomes really could be prevented. If you want to get training, I recommend a program called Stop the Bleed. It's a free program, right? There are some places that charge for it as well, but make sure that you see the trauma centers in Miami-Dade County, specifically Ryder Trauma Center, to see if we can get you trained for Stop the Bleed. Now, what that is doing is training the public who do not have any medical you know, experience on how to control hemorrhage and possibly save lives when you have suffered a traumatic injury.
Excellent. Well, you are just an encyclopedia of information. So congratulations. God bless you. Keep up the great work.
Likewise.
And yes, I want to take you up on your offer. I want to go see the trauma center, Ryder Trauma Center. And I know that all of viewers know by now that I am a huge fan of Jackson Health System, Jackson Memorial Hospitals. A big shout out again to Ana Vega Milton with her new hospital, the Jose Milton Memorial at Jackson West, and the entire team, including you, Luis. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're doing an amazing job. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
See you Saturday. You promised. Bye-bye. And to all of you, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Please remember to share this interview with your family and friends. you may be saving someone's life. Remember that keeping informed and staying connected allows all of us to make the right decisions. God bless you all. Stay healthy and safe. Bye-bye for now.
No, you're good.